How did you happen to get in here?
I ran here. You scared the daylights out of me last night.
Seems like the truth shouldn't scare anybody, man or boy.
Thing getting you?
No. I'm just thinking about public reaction to all this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dragon King Dark, episode number 334. This is part of our 100 Darkest Moments in Pop Culture series. Lately, we've been talking a lot about music and musicians, so we're going to have a little bit of a change of pace this episode and talk about something a little different. This is going to be the curse of the Little Rascals, My Gang, as they were called. This is very old stuff, way before my time. I would be absolutely lying to you if I told you I'd watched any amount of the Little Rascals or My Gang. I've probably seen two or three episodes ever. This was a thing back in the Great Depression. I guess a very depressing time anyway, but certainly the Little Rascals, the My Gang was, you know, a comedy thing that was very, very popular in popular culture. And seems like a lot of the members of this, I guess, I don't know, for lack of a better term, I guess you'd call it a comedy troupe. Kind of like, I don't know, a bunch of little kids doing Monty Python back in the day. I don't even really know how you'd explain it. But anyway, seems like several of them had not the greatest of ends here. Seems like several of them. Even to the degree that there was a documentary made several years ago called The Curse of the Little Rascals. And, you know, we often hear about and have known about for years, and we've even talked about several of them in this series, child actors don't necessarily always have the best outcome. I don't know, there's something about getting involved in the entertainment industry at such a long age as children that, you know, that's, I think it's maybe less that they're thrown into this weird world as how as a human being do you deal with peaking, the most successful thing you do in your life was when you was a kid. Like, it's all downhill from there unless you just go on to be something hugely successful. And I think that's an expectation that maybe was put on some of these kids too, is that they were going to be great actors and actresses, and largely that didn't happen. You know, the My Gang group changed so often. I mean, it's not, most people when they think about it, they think of, you know, Alfalfa and some of the more recognizable ones, but actually there were many different ones of these kids that played these characters over the years, and they would rotate them out as they got older. In fact, you know, I guess probably Alfalfa is the most famous one of the Little Rascals, and you know that he was done with the series by the time he was 12 years old. And look, hey, his story doesn't end well either, and we'll talk about it coming up. But you know, think about it. You're the most successful, most famous thing you did in your life, you were done with it by the time you were 12 years old. And maybe that's something that's difficult for a lot of these actors and actresses to deal with. Now, many of them did continue on in acting, but they never really, none of them really ever went on to bigger roles or anything, you know, leading man roles and stuff. Some of them had some degree of success in Hollywood, but for the most part, they ended up leaving Hollywood altogether. So I want to start off today by looking at an article from KnowledgeNuts.com. And I think it had probably the best article I've read about this, called The Curse of the Little Rascals. And this gives a real good coverage of it. It's only written last year, January 1st, 2021. And this article says, in fact, I'm going to tweet it out right now. So if you go back on our Twitter timeline, you can read a little bit about it there. I just sent it out. So if you follow us, we have a new Twitter account. If you'll go to the front page of whenitwascool.com, you'll see all of our social media stuff there. Join it, whatever. In a nutshell, the Little Rascals comedy shorts were incredibly popular in the early years of film, but the crew could easily be described as cursed. Many of the cast members died under horrifying circumstances, not limited to murder, plane crashes, suicide, and motorcycle accidents. Beginning in 1922, a series of live-action comedy shorts starring a group of children called Our Gang hit the silver screen. The shorts were a hit, and over decades, a constantly evolving cast of Little Rascals entertained audiences. New kids joining up as older ones grew into their teens. While many cast members lived full, normal lives following their stint on the program, a chilling number went on to perish in most terrible fashion. This article here, you see, is a little bit colorful in and of itself, but let's see that they do meet somewhat of a poor demise. Bobby Hutchins, dead at age 20, and Donald Haynes at 23, both died while serving in World War II. Well, you know, there's many entertainers, actors and actresses and musicians and so forth who, you know, and got sent off to war, and many of them didn't come back. We talked about here on this very series of shows, we talked about the famous conductor Glenn Miller. He disappeared in World War II, never to be found again. So, you know, how many hits did Glenn Miller and his orchestra have? A lot of them. And so he was one of them. So, you know, Bobby Hutchins and Donald Haynes, you would think just by sheer number of people that was on this show that war would, you know, get some of them, and it did. But still sad, 20 years old, 23 years old, no question, that's too bad. Billy Froggy Laughlin died at just 16 when his motor scooter was struck by a car. So let's talk about Billy Froggy Laughlin just a little bit here. He died at the hospital on August 31st, 1948, after a speeding truck struck the Cushman motor scooter in which he was delivering newspapers near his home in La Puente, California. The 16-year-old friend who was operating the scooter, John Wilban, made a U-turn in front of a truck but survived with minor injuries. Laughlin was survived by his parents, his two brothers Claude and Mickey, and his maternal grandmother. The scooter was given to Laughlin by his parents just 2 weeks prior to the accident. At only 16 years of age, Laughlin died younger than any of the other actors who appeared in the Our Gang films. And so that's the youngest person that the supposed curse of the Little Rascals struck, Billy Froggy Laughlin. The article continues, Norman Chubby Cheney died of a glandular ailment at the age of 21. Remember, they often had a fat kid on there that was the butt of the jokes, and there were several different ones over the years, and Chubby Cheney was one of those, dead for the very thing that I guess helped make him famous at the age of 21. It's terrible. Kendall McComas now did live to the age of 64, but the manner of death is somewhat, it was what lands him on this list, because he and Scott Beckett, who was 38, both committed suicide. Darla Hood, we all remember, she was a recurring love interest on the show. She was a little girl. She frequently was, you know, she's Alfalfa's, the ones he always made out over. She died of a heart attack at the age of 47 after contracting hepatitis from a blood transfusion. So, yes, Darla, the love interest child of the show, was one of the more famous people on the My Gang Little Rascal series. Yes, dead before the age of 50. In 2002, J.R. Smith, he lived to be 87 years old. Well, that's a pretty good long life, but the manner of his death was not so great. He was stabbed to death by a homeless man he had befriended. His body was found in the desert north of Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, here's one, and I had forgotten he was part of this series, but he certainly made the news several years ago. Robert Blake, yeah, he went on to some acting success. He actually was one of the few from the My Gang series who made a successful transition from child to adult actor. But we all know his story, right? He was in the midst of a murder investigation when his second wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley, was killed in 2001. Blake was acquitted of the charges, but was later found liable for her death in a subsequent civil trial. So, yeah, Robert Blake was part of this story, too, and it wasn't just, 20 years ago that, yep, he was on trial for murder. Perhaps the most famous little rascal of all was Carl Alfalfa Switzer, the freckled, cow-licked boy who yearned for the affections of his beloved Darla. Switzer left the show in 1940 at the age of 12. So, again, you know, the biggest thing you've, the most important, the most famous thing you did in your life, you did before the age of 12. That's got to be heavy stuff. I mean, it is. And he continued acting for a while. He even was in It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, that's a huge Christmas movie, right? In a few months, everybody will be watching that movie. The Ten Commandments. I mean, one of the most, you know, famous movies of all time. Well, he just had very small bit roles in there. Many of you probably didn't even know that he was in those movies, but he was in very quick, short parts. He never really had another big, major, successful part after being Alfalfa, even though he's very recognizable. Now, just the fact that his acting career was pretty much, for all intents and purposes, over the age of 12, his story's not going to end well. Switzer did a series of odd jobs afterwards. He had a talent in particular for training hunting dogs. In fact, here's a spoiler alert, on his tombstone, he's got a picture of a hunting dog. So, did you catch the spoiler there? Yeah, he's not with us any longer. What happened to him? Well, on January 21st, 1959, Alfalfa got into an argument with another man concerning a dog and a debt of $50. He was shot in the groin and bled to death. He was 31 years old. Now, Carl Switzer, Alfalfa's, his brother was also on the show periodically. Now, I don't think he had a regular character or whatever, but he was on, and he was also a child actor, but he was also on the Little Rascals My Gang series. His brother Harold, he killed a man. Yeah, killed a man during a dispute and then committed suicide at the age of 42. So the Switzer brothers, unfortunately, have a very sad story in this as well. Alfalfa, I mean, he ended up in not only just obviously having, you know, getting shot and bleeding to death, he had some financial woes as well. If you take a look at his Wikipedia page, his death is described thusly: in the midst of his legal and financial woes, Switzer agreed to train a hunting dog, a Tring Walker Coonhound. If you're ever over at whenitwascool.com, go to our in the rabbit hole zone, and you'll see an article we wrote about the Coon Dog Cemetery. I don't think Alfalfa's dogs are there, but it's a very interesting story nevertheless. But anyway, he's training a Tring Walker Coonhound for a man named Moses Samuel Bud Stilts. Stilts was a longtime friend and sometimes business partner whom Switzer had met while working with Roy Rogers, yes, the famous Roy Rogers, on various productions at the Coringville Movie Ranch. While in Switzer's possession, the dog ran off to chase a bear. Stilts was unsympathetic toward Switzer, firm in his demands that the former child star must either return his dog or pay him the equivalent of the dog's value. Unable to produce the cash to settle the debt, Switzer took out ads in newspapers and put up flyers offering a reward for the safe return of the animal. Eventually, the dog was located, believe it or not, and brought to the bar where Switzer was working at the time. The rescuer was rewarded with $35 in cash and $15 in alcoholic beverages. The equivalent, actually, in today's money, about $450, so that's not too bad of a score there. But the loss of his $50 did not sit well with Switzer. during an emotional conversation with his friend, 37-year-old unit still photographer Jack Piot, that took place a few days later, the two decided that Stilts should reimburse Switzer the finder's fee. Their argument was that the dog was Stilts and not Switzer's. The two soon arrived at Stilts' home in Mission Hills, and Stilts shared the home with his wife, Rita Corrigan, and his stepchildren. And Rita Corrigan was a famous girls pro baseball player, believe it or not. Switzer and Piot intended to demand the money of Stilts. So Alfalfa and his friends show up to Stilts. They're going to demand this finder's fee of money back. And though differing accounts of the event exist, all agree that Stilts was struck over the left side of his head with a glass clock. He later retreated to his room to retrieve a .38 caliber revolver, which Switzer wrestled him for. Their struggle caused the gun to discharge and almost shoot Tom Corrigan, who is Stilts' 14-year-old stepson. Now, Stilts' account of the event was one of self-defense, testifying that Switzer had banged on his front door, yelling, "Let me in or I'll kick in the door." The threat was followed by a struggle that began with one of the men, Switzer or Piot, striking Stilts with a clock. This prompted Stilts to retrieve his firearm, which Switzer grabbed for. The gun discharged accidentally, almost shooting Corrigan. Switzer then, according to Stilts, threatened him with a knife and yelled, "I'm going to kill you." Stilts fired and shot Switzer in the groin, damaging an artery that caused massive internal bleeding. Switzer, the famous child actor, Alfalfa of the Little Rascals, was dead when he arrived at the hospital. Tom Corrigan's account differed even significantly from his stepfather's. He told investigators that Stilts shot Switzer as he and Piot were leaving after the gun's accidental discharge had almost hit Corrigan. Switzer, according to Corrigan, had a moment of clarity about the situation. He turned to Piot and said they needed to leave. The two were headed for the door when Stilts then fired the fatal shot. Switzer never drew a knife, as Stilts had claimed he had. However, Corrigan was never called to testify at the coroner's inquest, and Stilts testified in his favor. His testimony was taken to be truthful despite physical evidence that contradicted his account and his past perjury condition. He had lied in court before. Years later, Corrigan stood by what he told officers had happened that night and said his stepfather did not have to kill Switzer. So it sounds like a all-around bad, bad situation there. With the shooting death of Alfalfa. Again, that was January 21st, 1959. When we come back from our mid-show break, we'll talk a little bit more about Alfalfa and what a little bit about his life. We'll take a look at the history.com piece on him. And then let's talk about another famous little rascal, Spanky. His death was... Well, a little bit. He was older, but not that old. We'll talk about it. I don't know whether to add him to the curse or not, but we'll talk about Spanky because he was one of the more famous of the Little Rascals when we return right after this. Here's a soundbite from the When It Was Cool podcast from whenitwascool.com. Uncle Luke of Two Live Crew, and I wouldn't have thought of Two Live Crew again in my life probably and then not brought him up on this show. That I bet you didn't listen to a lot of Two Live Crew back in the day, did you?
I was aware of it.
Okay, so I wasn't going to set you up and say, let's play some Two Live Crew, Tanya.
I'm aware. We was listening to some of the songs. I think I got my first kick, my first feel of it at the fair. And I'm like, wow, this is some...
Who is playing Two Live Crew at the fair? What? What kind of fair was this? What? Well,
I mean, I remember it being, I was on like that Polar, that it was called, it was a ride because called the Polar, and it slung you around real fast.
Okay, tell me more.
And I can remember this song being on, and I can remember it was started going really, really fast, and I was thinking, okay, this song is really, really dirty.
Yes.
there was little kids on there.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, but I mean, not on the ride, but there was little kids around, and I was thinking, this song is really bad.
You can get more from this podcast and many others by going to whenitwascool.com. And remember, support us on Patreon. All right, we're back. Thank you very much again for listening to the Dragon King Dark podcast. We are heard at WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com, Dark Matter Digital Network. And, of course, it originates and is produced by our website, WhenItWasCool.com. And we would love for you to stop by and become a Patreon supporter over there. We have an archive of quite a few shows. We're approaching 2,000 shows in our archive, dealing with all sorts of pop culture and retro pop culture. Then that incorporates everything from movies to TV to sports to comic books and music, all points in between. Now, I know we've had quite a run here lately on Dragon King Dark. Several people have commented, wow, you know, it's the Dead Singers show. Well, there's been a lot of that in there, and we still, you know, I got to admit, we still got a few more to go. You know, the music is super influential in popular culture and in people's lives and in the story of each and every generation. And pretty much, you know, from the 1900s on, music has been super influential. So anytime a tragedy happens to a member of that community, it does affect popular culture in a very negative way. Certainly movies since at least the 1920s have also been very influential in the story of popular culture, sports as well. And so these stories remember those who have, you know, for whatever the situation may be, not always died. It's not always about death and whatever. We've talked about scandals and different things that, and sometimes it's the handling of a pop culture product. We've done some sort of intellectual property that's been mishandled. What if it would have been done differently? We've done several of our shows on topics like that. We're well up into the 60s now on this list of 100. So we have, you know, we're approaching three-fourths of the way through. And some of our later ones are, I think, going to be very, very interesting. And I hope you'll stick around. There's a few more I have in mind before we get too much further in there. And some of them are going to go back all the way to the roots of popular culture in America, to the, you know, in the movie business. I've got one in mind. I've got at least one more musician coming up pretty soon that we need to talk about. But when we go back to this, I mean, we're talking about a property here with the My Gang Little Rascals that was popular during the Great Depression. I mean, this was a long time ago. Certainly, you know, I have no direct contact to that era. I never watched My Gang, never watched Little Rascals. Even my parents, this was even old for them. You know, this would have been like something for my grandparents' era. But yet here in 2022, we still know who these people are, right? When I say Alfalfa or Buckwheat or Spanky or Darla or any of these people, you know who we're talking about. You know, you immediately think, and yet many of you probably have never seen these shows ever. Yet they somehow influenced popular culture. They influenced your life. They influenced the conversation about entertainment and art, right? So I feel like it's interesting to go back and remember these people, and why do we remember this? I mean, recently on the When It Was Cool flagship podcast, the one that aired this past Thursday, my wife Tanya from When It Was Cool and myself, we discussed the Elvis movie. Okay, so, you know, Elvis, again, one of the most famous people in the world. There's many people today probably listening to this very podcast who were born well after Elvis was dead, who I'm going to venture to say there's probably a few people listening to this that may have never listened to an Elvis song from start to finish. But I bet you, I guarantee you, they've heard of Elvis and know who Elvis is. Why? Why is that important? And one of the things we talked about in that movie is Elvis didn't want to be forgotten. Well, he certainly wasn't forgotten. So how do these things that are art get so ingrained in our everyday lives where we know what these things are, even if we don't have a personal connection? And so hopefully these stories remind you of those reasons why, and maybe you hear something interesting and that you know, will jar you to go, you know, look this up on YouTube or look this up on some streaming service or, you know, rent a documentary about it and find out a little bit more. Because, again, I've probably never watched an episode from start to finish starring Alfalfa, Carl Switzer. But I know who he is. I've heard of him my whole life. On History.com's website, they wrote about his death this way in their This Day in History for January 21st. Actor Carl Switzer of Our Gang is killed. Carl Dean Switzer, the actor who as a child played Alfalfa in the Our Gang comedy film series, dies at age 31 in a fight, allegedly about money, in Mission Hills, California. Alfalfa, the freckle-faced boy with a warbling singing voice and a cowlick protruding from the top of his head, was Switzer's best-known role. As a child, Switzer, who was born August 7, 1927, entertained people in his hometown of Paris, Illinois, with his singing. On a trip to California to visit relatives, Switzer's mother took Carl and his brother to the Hal Roach Studios, a film and television production company that launched the careers of comedy legends like Laurel and Hardy. The Switzer brothers were signed by Hal Roach, and Carl was cast as Alfalfa in the Our Gang series, which Roach began producing as silent films in the early 1920s. Our Gang revolved around a group of ragtag children and their adventures. Along with Alfalfa, other popular characters included Spanky, Buckwheat, and Darla. Our Gang was considered groundbreaking in that it featured white and black child actors interacting equally. Switzer played Alfalfa from the mid-1930s to the early 1940s. In 1955, the Our Gang films were turned into hugely popular TV series called The Little Rascals. However, Switzer never received any royalties from the show. After Our Gang, Switzer found small roles in movies and on television, but his most successful days in Hollywood were behind him. Again, remember, age 12. He made money working odd jobs, including stints as a hunting guide and bartender, and had several run-ins, unfortunately, with the police. On January 21, 1959, Switzer and a friend went to the Mission Hills home of Moses Bud Stilts to collect a debt Switzer believed he was owed. Fight broke out, during which Stilts shot and killed Switzer. A jury later ruled the incident justifiable homicide. All right, we heard another name mentioned in here a few times. That's of Spanky, and again, if you know any of these Little Rascals characters, you probably remember the chubby-cheeked Spanky, Spanky McFarlane, Spanky George McFarlane. He was born October the 2nd, 1928, and he died when? June 30th, 1993. So, yeah, he's 64 years old, and, you know, nowadays in today's world, we don't think of 64 being particularly that old, and even in 1993, well, that was a little on the younger end of having old age ailments like, you know, massive death-defying heart attacks and strokes and things like that, the old people diseases that kill them, we think about. That was mostly people up in their 70s, right? Well, you know, we know Spanky was a little bit chubby as a kid. I don't know how he grew up to be an adult. Maybe he was fit as a fiddle. I'm not sure. But anyway, what happened to him was this. Now, he was a contemporary to Alfalfa, to Switzer. Yeah, he was in around the same time period. And apparently, I guess the Little Rascals, My Gang, it's probably the peak of their popularity were the 1930s and 1940s. When people think about them, I think that's what they, the era they think of. In January of 1931, in response to a trade magazine advertisement from Hal Roach Studios, requesting photographs of, quote, cute kids, Spanky's Aunt Dottie sent pictures from Sonny's portfolio, Spanky's portfolio. An invitation for a screen test arrived that spring, leading to his acting career. Portions of Spanky's screen test are included in a 1932 Our Gang entry called Spanky. The nickname Spanky is erroneously said to have arisen from warnings by his mother not to misbehave during one of the initial discussions with Hal Roach in his office. McFarland contradicted the tale, saying that the name was given by a Los Angeles newspaper reporter. The term a spanky child was late 19th to early 20th century slang for an intelligent, gifted toddler. Spanky was an example of such a child in his earliest movies, a toddler who could act. So the name had meaning to the movie-going audience of that era that was lost for later generations. Use of the Spanky name by McFarlane for subsequent business or personal activities was expressly granted to McFarlane in one of his studio contracts. In later years, some of the family members would affectionately refer to him as Spank. So, you know, if you've ever heard or seen a business or a product that, you know, said Spanky on it, well, George McFarlane had the rights to that. And in fact, he merchandised some of it. And in fact, he was involved in a lawsuit at one point in time over, I think it was a bar or restaurant that was erroneously using that in the image of the child Spanky and not paying him royalties. So unlike Switzer, looks like Spanky, he pressed and pursued his business interests. And good for him for protecting his intellectual property. Upon being discovered at age 3, he instantly became a key member of the Our Gang children's comedy movie series and one of Hollywood's stars. His earliest films show him as an outspoken toddler, grumpily going on with the rest of the gang. His scene-stealing abilities brought him more attention, and by 1935, he was the de facto leader of the gang, often paired with Carl Alfalfa Switzer, and always the enterprising, quote, idea man. Switzer's character became as much of a scene stealer as the young McFarlane was, and the two boys' fathers fought constantly over screen time and star billing for their children. Spanky McFarlane's only starring feature film role was in the 1936 Hal Roach film, General Spanky, an unsuccessful attempt to move the Our Gang series into features. He also appeared as a juvenile performer in many non-Roach feature films, including the Wheeler and Woosley comedy, Kentucky Colonels, and two Fritz Lang features of the 1940s. Following the 1938 Our Gang short, Came the Brawn, McFarlane, quote, retired from Our Gang, beginning a personal appearance tour. In mid-1938, Hal Roach sold the Our Gang unit to Metro Goldwyn and Mayer, who began casting for a new team leader character in Spanky's vein and ended up rehiring, yep, Spanky himself. He remained in the MGM Our Gang production until his final appearance in the series, Unexpected Riches, in 1942 at the ripe old age of 14. Now, 1952, at the age of 24, McFarlane joined the United States Air Force. That's right. He was a service member as well. Upon his return to civilian life, indelibly typecast in the public's mind as Spanky from Our Gang, he found himself unable to find work in show business. He took less glamorous jobs, including working at a soft drink plant, a hamburger stand, and a popsicle factory. Yes. Again, you're most famous, the greatest thing you're known for, the greatest thing you'll ever do, was done before the age of 14. Again, that's got to be a tough thing to deal with. In the mid-1950s, when the Our Gang comedies were sweeping the nation on TV, McFarlane hosted an afternoon children's show, The Spanky Show, on KOTV television in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The show included a studio audience and appearances by other celebrities such as James Arness, and it ran the Little Rascal shorts. Station executives prevented McFarlane from developing and expanding the show's format, and by 1960, McFarlane had quit the show. After that stint, he continued at odd jobs, selling wine, operating a restaurant and a nightclub, and selling appliances, electronics, and furniture. He was selling for Philco Ford Corporation, where he advanced to a national sales training director. During this time, McFarlane continued to make personal appearances and cameo roles in films and television, including an appearance on The Mike Douglas Show with Darla Hood and William Buckwheat Thomas. As general manager, McFarlane helped launch the Classic Movie Channel and the Nostalgia Channel in 1985. During the 1990s, after his self-described semi-retirement, Spanky lent his name and celebrity to help raise money for charities, primarily by participating in golf tournaments. Spanky also had his own namesake charity, Golf Classic, for 16 years, held in Marion, Indiana. He traveled the country doing speaking engagements and lectures about his movie roles and his days on The Little Rascals. His final television performance was in 1993, playing himself in the cold open of the Cheers episode, Woody Gets an Election. That's right, he made an appearance on Cheers, 1993, his last time on TV. McFarlane was in his bedroom in Keller, Texas, getting dressed on June 30th, 1993, when he suddenly collapsed. Paramedics tried to revive him for approximately 30 minutes before transporting him to Baylor University Medical Center in Grapevine, Texas. He was pronounced dead within 40 minutes of being admitted at the age of 64. It was believed that Spanky had died of a heart attack or aneurysm, and his remains were cremated shortly thereafter. And look, hey, Spanky's one of the more famous pop culture, you know, figures. Besides, you know, making all those personal appearances as himself, there was a 60s folk rock group called Spanky and Our Gang. He named himself after that. In 1990, Spanky filed a $100,000 lawsuit against a bar owner in St. Paul, Minnesota. McFarlane claimed that Spanky's bar on East 7th Street used his name and face for 13 years without permission. The lawsuit also called for McFarlane to receive all of the internal merchandise and equipment featuring his likeness. The case was eventually settled, and the owner changed the name to Checkers Bar. So any of you in the St. Paul, Minnesota area, maybe you're aware of that. But, yeah, I mean, Spanky never really had a film career or TV career after it. Again, another one of these child actors whose best days were behind him at the age of 14 years old. So was there a curse on my gang, Little Rascals? Well, I don't know, any more so than there's one on rock music musicians, many of whom have died before the age of 50, 40, the famous 27 Club, right? We talk a lot of pro wrestling history and good grief, and the, you know, from about 1985 to about the year 2000, it was almost a weekly, sometimes two or three a week, roster of people dying before the age of 40 and 50 years old from a variety of causes, everything from heart attacks to murder to overdoses and all points in between. So it's an entertainment industry thing, and again, you have to consider, as I've mentioned many times on this program, can you imagine the most important thing you did in your life was before you hit puberty? And what do you do with the rest of your life then? You're famous. You've had a taste of success. Perhaps you've had a taste of money. A lot of times these child actors, their money seems to evaporate in managers and parents and sketchy business dealings, and they never really get to prosper from their fame and popularity, but they have to carry that. And they never seem to live up to that early success. So very few child actors morph into very successful adult actors. There are obviously a few. You could probably name off the top of your head several, but the percentage is actually pretty small when you think about how many child actors there have been out there who have made the transition into successful adult roles. And you would think it would be just the opposite. You would think some people with that degree of experience when they were young, learning the ropes back then, getting ingrained into knowing people and knowing managers and knowing movie producers and all that, you would think they would, you know, prosper more. You would think they would be more successful. But so many times it comes with a lot of problems that they can't shake. And a lot of times they're typecast. A lot of times they become known for that one role. I mean, it's going to be hard for Alfalfa to ever be anybody other than Alfalfa, and Spanky to be anything other than Spanky, and so on and so forth. They become, you know, so associated with that role that when you see them in another movie, it's kind of jarring, sort of takes you out of it. And we talked about that a little bit recently on the Flagship podcast where we were talking about Napoleon Dynamite. So this is an age-old problem, and the stories of child actors who don't have a happy ending are Legion. We've talked about many of them in this series, and we'll talk about some more of them going forward before we conclude with 100 of the darkest moments in pop culture history, which is being brought to you by whenitwascool.com. Hope you will check out our website. When you're over there, check out, you know, we have quite a few free podcasts. Check those out. I hope you'll maybe do your Amazon purchasing through us. And the best way you can help us is to become a Patreon supporter. We really appreciate our Patreons. We have a great, very positive Patreon community. As a Patreon supporter, you come on at any level. You can request shows, be it on our flagship podcast or Dragon King Dark or any of our other, you know, retro pop culture shows. You can request those. You can get all sorts of benefits, a feed to put into whatever you're, wherever you're listening podcasts now. If you're listening on iTunes or Apple Podcast or Amazon or Spotify or wherever it is, you get a little feed. You can plug that in, and then you get all of our free and paid shows right to whatever you're listening to. Makes it super, super easy. Check us out over at whenitwascool.com. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you here again soon with another show.
We depend on Patreon support for our website and podcast network. In order to continue these podcasts you enjoy, we need you to visit whenitwascool.com and pledge at least $1. You'll gain access to lots of exclusive podcasts, newsletters, and more. Sign up is quick, simple, and can be canceled at any time. whenitwascool.com and click any Patreon link. Thank you.